But it is a little bit after 8, so why don't you guys all just say where you're from, your name, maybe your company name, so we know who all is on the call.
Phil Rowson, Encore Restoration, Wixom, Michigan.
Yeah, John Miller, A1 Roofing, Richmond Center, Wisconsin.
Andy Neer with Empire Contractors in Shelby, Michigan.
Dan Trevino with Homelink Roofing and Siding, Austin, Texas.
Jim Gillian.
Eco Commercial Roofing.
DJ Eagle Commercial Roofing, Toledo, Ohio.
It's Tim Gilliam in Indiana.
Sam Hosteller, Texas.
Phil Helmuth, 5-Star Commercial Roofing, Millersburg, Ohio.
All right, awesome. Well, we've got 16 people on the call, so there's a few others also listening in. But I thought we would just start the call by people just sharing what they're planning on doing this next year, and then for some of the newer guys, we can talk about the advantages and disadvantages of different ways of marketing. But if you don't have much to say, it'd be great if you mute your lines. If it's too noisy, I'll mute it from here. But that way you guys have control.
Well, I'll start it off, Jonathan. As some of the guys in here know, we've had a struggle with staffing issues with our crew. But I brought 3 guys down with me to the choice contractor workshop there in Ohio last weekend. And not only it's kind of, not only am I excited, but it's great to have a group of guys that are excited with me that I can just feel the momentum going into. I mean, they're ready to do some 100 and 200 square roofs, and that's just fun to get the enthusiasm and excitement going in the company. And we're quoting right now, I mean, we're quoting several 30,000 and 20,000 square roofs for 2017, so everything looks on the up and up.
So what are some of your plans for this year, marketing-wise?
Flexion is what I'm really trying to gear some, because I haven't got any under my belt yet. And it's just like any new system, you know, you have a hard time selling that first one because you still have the confidence of having done one. But now that I know that I've got several guys on my crew that have quite a bit of experience doing TPO, and PVC is really just a very similar product, but they were there at the training to see how it works and get a hands on it. And so now I have a lot more confidence going to my next customer and talking about Flexion and actually selling the job.
Awesome. Well, are you planning on doing mailers again this year or anything with the internet?
Oh yeah. So the internet, the website, actually Meg's actually finishing up here in the next week or so, and we're hoping to get that launched and start seeing leads come in from that. And then the mailers, with your input, we're probably going to start putting them out for February, mid February.
Awesome. Anybody else have some plans?
Yeah, this is John from A1 Roofing. I'm planning to focus very much on follow-up. We've been going for a couple of years now. We had more leads going into the fall than we did last year in the spring. And I'm still doing a lot of follow-up on that. And then cold calling. I got brochures from you last year, and I dropped those off, and I get a very good result from those. So my biggest one is to be very on top of the follow-up, because I have built a fairly large customer base, and I'm getting a lot of word of mouth referrals. And so I feel at this point that's my biggest asset right now, to make sure that I follow up with everything I have.
Excellent. Well, that's a really good point. You know, for those that were doing marketing the last couple of years, it is so important to call back. And for those that are starting to, you know, market and sell, there's a little bit longer of a closing cycle with commercial roofs, and especially the bigger ones. So, you know, to follow up at least once a month is a really good idea, so someone else doesn't swoop in there. There's a couple good ways to keep records, but is anybody more experienced trying maybe the different forms of marketing, from mailers to cold calling, telemarketing, SEO? Does anybody on the call want to kind of share what they found? Or if you focus on just one thing. Yeah.
This is Bill. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Bill Rousen with Incor. We've got two trade shows coming up, the Apartment Managers Association and the Property Managers Association trade shows, and they've both been very successful. Last year was the first year we did both of them, and right now we're in the middle of a $250,000 job at an apartment complex from last year's show, which will pay for as many shows as we'll ever do. But we had a lot of great contacts, and those folks, they walk around these trade shows and they've got stuff coming up and they don't know who to call. And you substantiate yourself being at these trade shows, and all of a sudden you have, you know, you have respect from them because you're there, and then you quote their job. And even if we weren't even the low bidder on this job and we got it. But we've got some other great contacts for a lot of work from these trade shows.
Can you repeat the name of those two trade shows?
The Apartment Managers Association. And I don't know what they would be called in your area. The Condominium Managers Association, CMA, AMA. Just do a Google search in your area. And the best thing you can do is join, because they have events all year long. You can go to their holiday parties. They might have a spring baseball event. And just get to know them.
Thanks for the info.
But they'll always have an annual convention where you can buy a booth and set up.
Well, with someone more experienced in a certain area, maybe direct mail or another one, maybe things that you've tried that didn't work so well, or some tips for some of the newer guys who don't really know what to avoid, if you want to share. I've got some notes here, too, if anyone else has anything.
Hey, Jonathan, this is Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, yeah, good things that you guys are doing out there in marketing and stuff. So, and like, we've been doing this for, 8 years now, Jonathan? And,
yeah.
I think we've been, we've done mailers, probably more mailers than anything else, but I've done a lot of Facebook, business page sponsoring and stuff like that, and we've got jobs off that. But, I think overall, as far as marketing goes, it is good if we would try all kinds of venues. Some hit sometimes, some don't. Sometimes, like your mailers, you know, you send mailers out and you might get 3 calls. The next time you might get 20 calls. Sometimes you might not get any calls. And I think the name of the game is just mix it up and keep pushing the message out that you want your customer to know, and basically that's that you're around, you know, and I think that's one of the most important things, you know, just keep pushing your information, who you are out there on all kinds of avenues.
Excellent.
And to add that, you get to make sure you track what you're spending your dollars on marketing wise, so you can evaluate what you're
doing. Here's a rule of thumb for me. If I want to make $100,000, I'll spend 10%. So for every $100,000, I'll spend $10,000. That's a pretty good rule of thumb.
Great. Well, one of the things I thought I would just touch on, and we did this at the workshop, I went a little bit more in depth, but I'll keep it a little bit shorter on the call unless someone has some questions. But, you know, there's a bunch of different ways to market. Generally, the best ones for commercial roofing are going to be direct mail, website, telemarketing, trade shows, and cold calling. For those that are just starting out and they want really hot leads that aren't too concerned about referrals and such, direct mail is that shot in the arm that can get things going very quickly. And following that up with telemarketing can greatly expand the number of leads you get. But you should never do telemarketing without first, I need a line here, one sec. Here we go. But as far as, you know, telemarketing is concerned, you don't want to do that if you don't first send out some kind of direct mail so that they can say, you know, hey, we sent information, wanted to follow up and see what you thought, or, you know, something where it's a little bit more warm than just, you know, are you having roof problems today? Another thing that gets pretty fast results would be trade shows. You know, you're going to have people that approach you rather than you, you know, going after them. It's a lot less threatening of an environment, but generally I wouldn't recommend doing that right away unless you already did marketing in your area with at least billboards or direct mail or something. So that way they've heard of you and now they get the chance to kind of check you out. Without, you know, actually scheduling an appointment and having you out on their roof and maybe feeling a little bit more obligated to do something. And then cold calling can be a great way to get started if you don't have a lot of funds, but you don't want to shortchange yourself by not having really good material to leave behind. And then, you know, with anything that you do, you always want to make sure you have a website that shows that, you know, commercial roofing is, if not the main focus of your company, at least a major one. If you're promoting that you're doing commercial roofing and then they go to your website and all they see is home remodeling and home roofs, they're not going to feel comfortable working with you as with someone else who, you know, really looks like they're specialized and they're capable of handling the job. It's like I shared at the workshop, you know, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. And if you're not prepared, if you don't have, you know, that website and different things in place, so when they start checking you out, they feel comfortable to work with you, they'll probably go with someone else. I don't know if someone wants to just maybe talk a little bit about website leads or doing stuff with Google or the other search engines. I did want to tell you guys what we're going to be doing for the group, the endorsed members, and then how you guys can use that, the idea that we're trying with your own businesses. But before we do that, does anybody want to share anything about maybe the success they've had online just by having a website that ranks well when someone types in like commercial roofing contractors?
Hey, Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
This is Ladd, Tradition Commercial Roofing Tools. So
Hey, what? Question.
Sure.
To all you guys that are listening, when you guys are sending out those direct mailers, are you targeting just zip codes or in a specific area? Or are you guys, is it a good idea to target, like Bill was talking about, those, you know, property management associations and those different property management and apartment complexes? Is it wise to kind of target those as well with your direct mailers versus just spreading out over a quote unquote zip code area? What do you guys recommend on that?
I just went with zip codes when I did it. You know, I'm sending 5,000 of them out, so it's going to go across a wide array of different types of properties, and it's going to sort out, you know, government entities and municipalities, and so a lot of those, the filters will take out a lot of those buildings that wouldn't be your type of project. So it goes for the people that are most suitable to hire you, and I think condos and such are probably going to be linked in that. Jonathan, correct me if it's not, but I just did zip codes because it's going to give you a variety of different roof projects.
Okay. Thanks, Andy.
The ones that I got when I just did zip codes were basically all 212, 312, 412 pitch commercial steel roof. And a few of them were single ply membranes, but most of them were MR systems.
Okay. Thanks, man.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine you could do a mailer to all the property management companies in your area, which wouldn't be that bad, I guess. And then, do a trade show after that. But, you know, we call on property management companies with a salesperson all the time. We do insurance restoration too, on top of commercial and residential roofing. So we call on them for fires and floods and stuff. So they know who we are. And so when we go to the trade shows, they see us and recognize us. And as people walk by, you know, we're hugging people that know us, and you know, they know who you are. Like Jonathan said, you show up and no one knows you, and it's kind of awkward. But I guess if you did a mailer, you could mail stuff to every property management company, in addition to the stuff that Andy just talked about, you know, mailing stuff to all the commercial properties with low slope roofs. And Jonathan can filter all that stuff out for you, but you could also do it to property managers.
How do you get those numbers of property managers, Bill?
You know, I have a CRM system, and I have all the property management companies in my area. But if you were mm-hmm. starting from scratch, I would imagine if you joined the local organizations, you would get a listing of all of them. I don't know if you get an electronic listing, you'd have someone punch it in if you just got a book full of them. But if you were to join the Apartment Managers Association or the Property Managers Association, you would get a listing of all of them.
A buddy of mine turned me on to a site the other day called GIS Mapping, and it's a property viewer that I can zoom over top of any building in the city, and tells me who the taxpayer is and who owns the building. But
What's the name of that?
It's only for one. It's called Muskegon County GIS. But I didn't find it with any of the other cities, so I don't know if there's a similar program in other cities, or if it's just that one. And he's going to teach me more how to use it too, so that I can actually connect with these people and call those people. But so, for example, you look at he's telling me, for example, there might be 3,000 businesses in that city, but there might only be 1,200 owners, because some people own multiple businesses. for example, a shopping center complex, you know, there might be eight businesses in there, but one person owns the whole building, and it's going to be harder to chase that owner down. So that's what he's helping me with, trying to figure that out. There might be an easier way to do it. I don't know.
Wow. Keep us posted on that.
This particular guy owns a billboard company, so that he might have some ins on that. From that.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
Sounds like I lost everybody there for a minute.
Yeah.
this is Phil Helmuth, and yeah, I found it interesting some of the things that have been shared, and just a few things on the direct mail. I've observed a lot of different contractors over the past couple years, even, you know, within our group and also outside our group. And I personally think it's direct mail is a great investment. The big thing that I see is, you know, especially for someone new getting started, is, you know, where are they at with their business? You know, if someone is brand new and they're trying to launch something and they have some money to invest, I think direct mail is one of the best things you can do if you strategically maybe throw in on an area. A thing that I've picked up in the past year that I will do this year is actually have mailers, direct mail pieces made up ahead of time and have it, you know, ready to, you know, hit the mail. And then when you have that, you know, maybe a crazy weather pattern come through and all of a sudden when people are actually thinking about their roof, I'm going to have those direct mail pieces hit exactly when I want them to hit. Because too often I see people sending out direct mail pieces, and when they actually hit, maybe the sun's shining and everybody's in a great cheery mood, and their roof is the last thing they're thinking of. You know, some people may keep it back, they may save it, but actually as far as to get the best results, if you time it correctly, you can get great results. And I love the idea of following up with telemarketing. I think the two work together real good, so that's something I want to do this year. I just haven't decided, you know, exactly when I want to do it, but it's definitely something I want to do. And also, something I picked up from a couple other guys is if you're out cold calling and you see specific areas that you really want to target, take down those names of those businesses and those addresses and actually kind of create your own CRM, and maybe hit those places on a more regular basis. Like, I know people who actually, you know, send a direct mail piece to them like once a month, where they know the company has a lot of roof issues, they know it's only a matter of time, so they stay in front of them consistently. Because all of a sudden, maybe they have, you know, a committee meeting or board meeting, and they're like, hey, we got to do something. And if they lost your contact or, you know, mislaid it or something happened, if you stay in front of them every month, there's a much bigger chance that you're going to be the guy that they remember. So there's a lot of different ways to go about it. But I think, you know, being strategic and not just, you know, shooting all across the board, not sure what you're targeting is a big key for the direct mail. And also on cold calling, I just had a couple of interesting calls today. You know, some guy cold called me on insurance. It was a State Farm insurance agent, and he runs a local agency. And he's like, hey, you know, I want to do all your insurance stuff. And, you know, I thought about just hanging up on the guy. But then I said, you know what, maybe this guy could lead me on to something. And, you know, and I told him what I do. And he's like, well, I'd like to quote you insurance. And then after, you know, talking a few minutes, he's like, hey, would you drop off some business cards? I think we could, you know, we've had some commercial roof work we could maybe send your way. We don't have a commercial roofer that we work with. I'm like, okay, great. You know, after we got done, I was really glad that, you know, I connected with the guy. So there's a lot of people like that, whether it's in insurance or maybe real estate brokers, you know, organizations. This year I want to focus more on trying to, you know, meet up and network with some of them key individuals who know a lot of people. This business is a very rewarding business when you, you know, network with the right individuals.
Great thoughts, Phil.
I got a call from an I got a call from an insurance agent like that, Phil. And I had a bunch of rental properties, and I gave him all the details. I spent an hour on the phone just telling him all the coverages I had and all the coverages I needed, all that stuff, and they never called me back. And then they called cold called me again about a year later. And I said, you know what? You did this to me last year, and I spent an hour on the phone, and you never called me back with a quote. And I just said, I'm not even going to talk to you. And that just that just goes to show you that follow-up, you know, I might have had all my insurance with this company, but they bothered to call me. They bothered to spend an hour on the phone with me, just like we do, but they failed in the follow-up, and they never got my business.
Yeah, that's very
believe that, the moral of the story.
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest things that I know I can improve in my game is follow-up. I know I lost some big contracts last year because I got busy and I just simply, you know, forgot to follow up. And that is something that's really, really huge for someone new getting started is you've got to follow up. You've got to be organized. You've got to be prepared because there is a lot of opportunity out there. I mean, people, you know, just today I talked with a gas company or something, and they own several buildings. And, you know, they're looking for value. They're looking for – they want their metal roofs waterproofed, guaranteed leak-free. They really don't care about insulation. And they said, we're calling around for, you know, several quotes. And I, you know, told them what I do, told them I can give them a leak-free guarantee, and I said – I also want to let you know there's a much bigger picture behind me. It's called the Choice Roof Contractor Group. And the guy goes, really? Well, I'm going to research that. And so, you know, people want the best bang for the buck. And when you can tell them you're backed up with a group like this, I feel you can stop their search for going out looking for more bids because, you know, they're excited about meeting with you and seeing what you have to offer. So, you know, I didn't tell the guy he couldn't go get another quote. I said, sure, go ahead so you have something to compare with. But I said, I'm not going to be the cheapest, but I'm going to give you the best bang for your buck. And the guy liked it. The other thing that I did not mention is there is a program that's new to most people, and it's the PACE program, P-A-C-E. Program that's actually a funding program to help guys get funding on their renovations. Like it's something with, you know, to do with energy codes and like energy, some kind of program where you can actually get a loan through this program that actually gets put on the property taxes and does not reflect the building owner's personal credit score. So if it may get, like they have a certain period where they don't have to pay any extra on, and then it goes, gets spread out over a, I'm not sure, is it a 10, 15, 20-year period? I don't have all the details, but I just Googled it a little bit ago because I haven't gotten involved yet, and I found that it's available, and there's an association in Cleveland, and there's one in Cincinnati for Ohio. So I'll probably be contacting the ones in Cleveland and finding out what I need to do to become an approved vendor. Because at that point, whatever that building or property is worth with a new roof, that client can get a 20% of that, you know, as a loan. And so if he sells his building in 5 years, that transfers right with the property tax, right with the building. And it's like a no-brainer if someone wants to, you know, sell their building. So that's something that I'm going to be checking into and trying to become an approved vendor, because I think that's something that's going to be really huge to win some bigger clients.
Well, one thing I was thinking of while you were talking earlier, Phil, it would probably be a good idea for those that haven't done too much in sales to do two things. First, they need to listen to a book like Sell or Be Sold by Grant Cardone, or get the audiobook for it. It's actually a blast to listen to, and it'll help you beyond just your business. You'll learn how to get your way a little bit more in your personal life too. But after you learn some of the basics of, why some people are better at doing sales than others, just do some cold calling. And it can be hard, to integrate cold calling in your schedule if you don't just set aside, 5 hours a week, whether that's 1 hour a day, a work day, or, 5 hours on Thursdays. But, just go out there and start shaking hands. It's amazing how many people have gotten master contractor just by doing that, just door knocking.
Jonathan, is it pound six that unmutes you?
I have to check. It might be star six.
Oh, okay. Dan was going to mention something, but he was muted, so.
Oh, okay. I had to mute a couple lines because of feedback. Do you think it's a 360 number? Probably the most likely. I'm going to take that one off.
It is.
Dan, are you able to talk? There's also a 512 number. Let me try that one.
Hey, guys.
Dan, are you able to talk?
My name is hello. I can right now. My name is Dan Trevino with Home Lake Roofing and Siding.
The 512 number.
Yes.
You there, Dan?
Well, I'm here. I can hear you guys well.
Okay.
Yep, we can hear you.
We can hear you. You had a comment.
Oh, you hear me now? Good deal. Sorry about that.
Yep.
I've been looking into this program. It's called Dodge Scans. It's a bidding site. It costs you about $1,200 a year. It's every commercial property looking for a roof upgrade or a building project, where you go to the site, and you'll get all the specs on it. You bid right online. The theory is that, while you're starting up a smaller company and you're running your leads and you're knocking doors, you have somebody literally bidding all day long on these programs at $1,200 a year. They don't really care how many you bid on.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't certain that was something for me. I'm not a computer guy, but it sounds pretty interesting for somebody that might be.
Awesome.
What's it called again?
Is that like the blue book? Is it a lot of new construction?
No, this is all retro buildings, stuff, older buildings. It's a commercial site. It's projects that are needing upgrades and roof changes. Some of these places are,
what's the name of it?
Specifically going to this site. Dodge Scan. Dodge Scan. Abby Kahn is the lady that I have for a contact. I could pass you guys that if you'd like.
There's one called the Dodge Reports, too. I think it might be similar, because the Dodge Reports, new buildings,
it might be
similar to like the Builders Exchange.
Okay, this is the Dodge Scan. It's not the Dodge Reports, because that's why
okay.
I asked. Yeah, I made that comment to her just by, just by not listening to what she said, and I said, Dodge Reports? And she said, no, this is Dodge Scan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all older buildings, and you can actually choose the zip code you want to work in. And every building in that area that's looking for a roof, commercial site, they'll have all their specs on it, and all you got to do is just sit back and type them all up. $1,200 a year, I don't really know the specifics on the whole ordeal, but once you actually bid on it, you've got the address, and then the theory is you should be able to do a follow-up with mailers and then emails. I do all of the above.
Gotcha.
On residential. I'm a stormer by trade, and I knock on every door. But I'm tired of being gone all the time and coming home, and then my marketing is bad, so I don't get any work at home. And that's what I want to do,
mm-hmm.
is be closer to home so I can maybe have a life. And that's why I'm interested in and networking with a group of guys like yourselves. I don't consider myself the smartest guy out there, but I'm damn, you know, not the slowest. I'm always looking to be a part of a team where we can all learn together. You know, a lot of networking programs that are out here, they're requiring a lot of time, personal time, and I like this phone conference stuff a lot better. The other thing that I get on to is for a lot of insight is RoopersCoffeeShop.com.
Yep, just I'm on that too.
For Roopers. I do that all the time. As a matter of fact, Andy, I think I recommended you on that one.
Yep.
Probably a few years back. But there's a lot of good information there. And some of our contracts, especially down here in Texas, you know, when you're competing against unlicensed contractors, it's a different market. And it's always good to get insight from guys that have the experience of competing against other guys like that. So, anyways, I just want to put my two cents out there about that Dodge Camera Force. I like the idea. I'm just not a computer guy.
Okay. Thanks.
No problem, guys.
Jonathan, I'd say one thing that's worked for me that probably hasn't been mentioned so far is that has really been working for me for the last few weeks is not really cold calling, but it's kind of cold calling, but it's just stopping in and seeing your previous customers. I got a lot of customers that are commercial companies. They're fruit processors or tool and die shops or something, and they have more than one or two or three buildings. And if you've only worked on a section of it or one building, you know, stop in and visit with them every, you know, 6 months or a year and just follow up and say, you know, just wanted to, you know, follow up with you and see if you need any work done this year. And you'd be amazed that this one particular one that I've been working with, you know, the last 2 years, no, I shouldn't say 2 years, for the last 14 months, they haven't needed anything done. I called them the other day, and lo and behold, they need their offices done, so we're going to be looking at them this week. So you just keep following up, and that exposure and that presence in front of them, you know, if you don't remind them, they'll kind of forget about you.
Right. Another good question while you're out cold calling, if you see a medical complex where there might be six or seven tenants in there, they might be managed by a property management company. And if you call just one of the tenants inside and say, who's your property manager? And they'll give you a phone number because they all have emergency contacts. They have to have that. And that emergency contact could be a commercial property manager. You talk to them about that rusty metal roof, and it might open up a door for you to do, and they might manage 40 or 50 different complexes. Might be a huge in for you.
Absolutely.
Well, one thing I thought I would comment, I don't have personal experience with this, but based off of feedback I got a couple years ago, when you're reaching out to property managers, it's not going to be quite the same as, you know, just sending out 5,000 or 10,000 mailers one time to, you know, you want a select list. You know, you want to take out some things like Andrew was alluding to, like maybe multi-tenants, they don't work for mailers in general. The few that do come through are not worth wasting a good portion of your list on. I mean, if you send, say, 10 mailers to the same building to 10 different people and nobody owns a building, it's just a big waste in general, so we always take those out. But when you're working with property managers, typically you need to, you know, send them more than just a mailer. You know, you need a personalized letter. You need to reach out to them more than once. You need to call them. You need to stop in. Because everybody wants to work with them. But if you can somehow create a relationship or get in the same business networking group that they're in, you know, those kind of things can actually make that happen. It just takes more effort generally than what it would for a single building owner. So I wouldn't be discouraged if you go after them and don't get much results right away.
And they're the ones that need bang for the buck because they watch the money, they see the bank account, and they cannot run down the bank account on a community because then they're just, if they get upside down, that's just, it's over. But they have a problem because if they've got a bad roof, it has to be replaced no matter what, and they want the biggest bang for the dollar, and it has to be, you know, it has to be a good value.
Yeah, and it's not a bad idea to even work on those tenants because those tenants might have other properties, or at least they're in the right circles, you know, to refer you to other companies. So it can definitely be a good springboard. But the other thing is they'll probably vet you a lot more. So I wouldn't, if you're brand new to commercial roofing, I wouldn't go straight to the property managers. You know, work on some smaller buildings. They're easier to close. And as you build up, you know, a list of clientele, it'll be a lot easier to get the big fish. So that way you don't risk, you know, losing time getting to stage three and then losing, you know, deal after deal because you're trying to swallow a fish that's too big. So even when you're doing mailers and such, you know, I always recommend, you know, do 2,500 square feet and bigger. Don't go straight to 10,000 square feet and bigger because there's actually quite a bit of money in those smaller roofs. And another thing I would say is, you know, sometimes it's good to go in for the repair. I was just on the phone with my uncle today for about half an hour or so, talking about different options. But the way he's going to get a job is by doing basically patchwork on a lower level, smaller section of the roof. And then in 2 years from now, when they have the money, they're going to replace the upper roof and the lower roof, which together will be about 40,000 square feet. But in the meantime, he'll probably make about $5,000 profit just on, you know, the patchwork he's doing on the lower level.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jonathan. I thought about that. You know, I've been in business in general for 25 years, so I know not trying to go after those big fish might always sound real good, but you could always end up on your face too. So that's a
right.
Good advice. those small roofs will pay just as good as the big ones, and you don't need the manpower.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing I also like mentioning, I mean, I hate taking air out of the balloon, but, you know, if you're completely new to this, it's not a bad idea for your first roofs to be smaller, especially if you plan on mostly doing it yourself. You know, there is a small learning curve. If you were out to the workshop, you saw how simple these systems really are. But like Amos said, the devil is in the details. Sometimes, you know, it's easy to miss one or two on your first roof, and it's way easier to find them when, you know, it's 10,000 square feet than when it's, you know, 80,000 square feet.
Never say no,
absolutely,
though.
Right.
Bill?
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, can you come to Michigan and help me do a 100,000 square foot roof?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm waiting for the day where Choice Roof Contractors, someone here lands a million square feet and five of us gang up on it and knock it out.
Absolutely.
It'll be an awesome day. And
I'm
with
okay
the way
with
things
just,
are going,
really the way I attacked it, Jonathan, was when I signed up for Conklin, I already had two or three guys in my mind that I knew would be good candidates for this product. So the one guy I went to, I pretty much sold it. I didn't sell it at cost, but I didn't really make a ton of money off of it because I knew that was going to be the roof that I could learn on and get confidence on. It was only 7,000 square feet, so, and it was, you know, just a couple miles down the road, And then that was the one I could really cut my teeth on. And then after I did that one, you know, then you have the confidence to go hit the bigger ones.
Absolutely.
A lot of the bigger ones, though, and I have not done a real big, like a 400,000 square foot roof, but I've quoted them, and they're just bigger. They're just as easy. They're just bigger.
Yeah, and when you guys are out there quoting roofs, you know, don't feel bad about taking some photos and sending them out to Sam or whoever sponsored you, or putting them up on the private group page to get, you know, multiple opinions. And there's nothing wrong with telling the building owner that, you know, there's a couple different ways this could go, and you really want to take some time to think about it. You know, if you're newer, don't get intimidated about having to give an answer right away.
Another thought
Good
on,
point.
You know, small, you know, in comparing small to large, if you're not tearing the roof off and actually opening things and exposing their assets to the, you know, to the elements, technically speaking, you're not really running any bigger liability. Obviously, the job is bigger. If something major goes wrong, yes, you have, you know, more liability to a certain extent. But you can, when doing restoration, like on a metal roof or doing a, you know, black EPDM rubber or a single ply, you know, restoration, you can do it in sections, and you're not in danger. You're not putting yourself under more risk or more liability just because it's bigger, because of how restoration works. You can do it in sections, and you basically spend more time on one job, and you can actually become more efficient. When you really get set up, you get rolling, your guys are, you know, in the loop of things, everybody's working as a team, you actually become more profitable per square foot. So big restoration jobs are actually, you know, the real money makers, because you know, you're not constantly moving from one job to the next. You get set up and you do it section by section, you can make some really good money. So that's something I wanted to point out. Now, if you're opening up a, you know, a 200,000 square foot roof, you're doing a complete tear off. Now, something like that, yeah, you definitely want to make sure you have the manpower, you got guys to back you up, because if some kind of storm blows up and you have, you know, somebody's roof uncovered, you are liable for that. So that's where, you know, you definitely don't want to, you know, do a project like that for your very first project unless you have somebody else helping you. We have those guys, Choice Roof Group, to help each other.
Exactly. And that's actually something we're going to be unveiling at convention, as far as getting contractors to work with each other within the group some more. If you are an endorsed member, you've been called by Meg probably a couple times by now to get information on what you specialize in and what you'd like to help other members with and how far you're willing to travel, different things like that. So that way, you know, we can just continue to sell. If there's a group member that, you know, got 20 calls off their mailer and they ended up landing, you know, half of them, but they only have a crew of two or three guys, and most of the jobs got signed, you know, in July, you know, maybe someone else didn't have quite the same return, or else they were hesitant in even doing anything. They didn't really get rolling. You know, those guys are already trained and they're ready to go. So it would be a good experience for them, or, you know, for others, maybe they just want to travel. I know we've got quite a few in the southern states now, and there are those that would rather be in Texas than Michigan, you know, this time of year. I'm excited to see how that plays out. Another thing I wanted to bring, bring up while we're on the call, we've been going on for about 50 minutes, and we can go on as long as you want, but I just thought before some of those that had to go, we would talk about this yet. One of the things that I'm really excited about doing is pay-per-click, and I've done different forms of pay-per-click in the past for commercial roofing. I'm going to mute a line here, a bit noisy. Okay. Well, I guess they muted. I can't find the line now. But, you know, when people get a quote on something, oftentimes they'll go to the internet to do research. And I was thinking about, you know, all these mailers that are being sent out here, and, you know, they're going to go online and, you know, check out Conklin Roofing, especially in areas that haven't been introduced to the product quite as much. And when they do that, they might also be looking for a second bid. And if that's the case, you know, how great would it be to swoop in there and direct them to our page where they get to see not only do they get, you know, a superior product, but it's put on by a professional that has way more support. They have group-wide accountability, giving them more peace of mind and, you know, additional layer of value, especially for the endorsed members that are providing a lifetime service guarantee. I just think that's going to work out really good. And the other thing I like about it is a lot of times when you do pay-per-click, main people clicking are advertisers because they're looking for people who are willing to spend money. And so you basically pay anywhere from $10 to $40 a click for the pleasure of someone promising you the world again with marketing. So if we are only targeting Conklin Roofing keywords, the only two people I'll ever be searching for that in general will be, you know, those that are building owners or contractors looking to join. So if anybody would be interested in being part of a test study, I'm putting together a special program for that. We both basically just want to find out what works best. I'm going to be putting on a private group page a design that I put together for our group and another design that I put together for one of our members. And so we'll be testing that pretty heavily. But another advantage is, you know, rather than committing, you know, anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000 in mailers up front, and this is something where you can pay, you know, anywhere from $10 to $40 a click. And maybe after 10, 20 clicks, if you feel like it's not working for your area, you know, you can turn it off. If it is working well, it'd be very easy to scale up and, you know, reach out to more areas of the state, different things like that.
What are you doing in here?
I got a question for you, Jonathan.
Sure.
Oh, I mean, if Bill wants to chime in on that, it's a little bit off what you were saying there, but close. I was just going to ask.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, I was going to ask as far as I know a lot of times I do posts or updates, you know, Twitter or Facebook, and I hashtag with a comment. Now, I know a lot of times when people are doing events or big, you know, big get-togethers, and they'll use a particular hashtag with a comment behind it to boost the SEO presence on online for that.
Right.
Would there be a particular line or wording that we should use when we're doing posts so that we're not just coming up with unique ones every time? I mean, like Choice Roof Contractor Group or Choice Roof, or, you know, hashtag something so that it really bolsters the either our web page or the Choice Roof Group page?
Well, if we all use the same hashtag, I could definitely see that being really powerful. I mean, there's plenty of examples out there for both Twitter and Facebook. And for those that don't know how hashtags work, I'll just touch on that a little bit. Basically, you can kind of think of it as like a search keyword that you are putting into your post. So if someone clicks on it, they'll see all the other posts from people all over the world that are talking about the same subject. So if we did, you know, hashtag
right.
Choice Roof Group, any Choice Roof Group tagged post would come up. So then they get to see, well, geez, you know, there's a couple dozen people all talking about these different forms, and it can be very powerful. So if we have enough people get on board with that, it would be powerful. If you just have one or two or even less than five doing it, it usually doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
but I would really like to see those. What's that?
Excuse me. When you mentioned what you just did about the pay-per-clicks with hashtags, are you referring to there needs to be more people commenting on the hashtag or more people running those kinds of ads?
Great question. So, yeah, that did kind of get combined together. The pay-per-click with Google going after people that are searching for Conklin Roofing, that's completely separate from the hashtag that Andy's mentioning. The hashtag would be more for Facebook and Twitter when you put up a post, you know, trying to solicit commercial roofing work.
Okay.
It's kind of like a combined community effort. You know, some people don't like hashtags because they're afraid that, you know, someone will see something that someone else posted and they're a competitor and all of that. But everybody gets that same advantage. I would think, you know, with our group being nationwide, the net result would be, it would multiply all of our efforts and create a lot of credibility, you know, with our posts without ever causing any competitive issues.
Forget the competitive disadvantage. If you're not on it, that's a disadvantage.
That's exactly right.
It's an advantage. You know, you're all there.
Right.
Well,
and it's free advertising.
One of the events we were at, Jonathan, we were talking about competition and all that stuff, and Conklin in Northern Kentucky is easy to sell because there's so many people selling it and everybody's aware of it. You know, I'm up in Michigan,
right.
And Andrew, you can attest to this. It's a little difficult sell because, you know, I would love to have competition. Now I would like them all to be part of Choice Roof Contractor Group, and you know, that'd be awesome. But the awareness of the product is not here. So competition is not bad.
Yep.
We just want it all within the Choice Roof Contractor Group.
Right.
Of course. Yeah, that is something we did talk about as far as, you know, the pie gets bigger. When you have a better solution, whether it's the Conklin Roofing product or better service, which we're representing with the Choice Roof Group, when you have that, I'm trying to remember, like market disruptor, you know, something that is so far beyond what everybody else is used to, even if there are a lot of people that jump onto that ship, the market share gets bigger and bigger and allows for more projects to be done as the demand grows and the service providers, you know, basically market create awareness for this better way of doing things. And going back to what Bill said, you know, if you're scared of competition and don't, you know, get on board, you're actually losing out. So, better to be first than last in this situation for sure. Well, as far as taking action, what are some things that you guys plan on doing here in the next month? I think it's important, you know, that we, you know, create goals and actually move forward, or else all of a sudden it'll be May and the hot season's kind of over.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to a convention. I was saying that I'm going to national convention in a week. So,
well, that's a good point.
Go ahead, Bill.
We've got about, I think, 36 registered. And for any new time attendees, even if you didn't register in time for the online registration, you can show up at the door. And I have to talk to Rufus to see if we still have any tables left for the gala banquet, but even if we don't, it would be a blast to have you out. Any other plans?
I have an Apartment Managers Association trade show coming up in May or March.
Awesome.
And I do plan on doing a mailer. I gotta get that together with Jonathan, with you and Meg. I think
well,
that's
we're ready
an
anytime,
easy
I can
way
tell you
to
that.
Get a lot of calls.
Right. Yeah, especially when you're doing it consistently. I'm gonna make a comment now. I kind of forget. Oh, I was going to say it would be great to have you get in touch with the team first before national convention, because we get probably 20, 30 orders at national convention. It's hard to get everything custom designed, you know, after everything kicks off. So I don't know if you can contact Megan this week or next week, but I think it would be a better way of doing it. And, you know, going back to Phil's comment, it's important that you know, these mailers are pre-printed and ready to go. You know, when the snow melts, or if you're down south and it's raining harder than usual, I mean, at least for our company, we can have it out the next day. When we're told to drop it, it gets dropped.
You know, that's an interesting thing, and I meant to comment on that when Phil brought it up. I was meeting with a guy on a water restoration marketing plan. We do fires and floods. And there's a local radio station that encouraged us to develop an ad, and as soon as there was a heavy rain water event, they would drop the ad on the airways.
Well,
and,
I guess it's time to clean the fridge.
It's fresh in people's minds. You know, so there is.
What about the GFI?
There is event-driven marketing.
Right.
Now, if there's mold in that fridge, we'll clean that up too. I don't know who that is. But yeah, especially up in Michigan, we get some spring storms, and I think by then though, I want to do the second round of mailers. Do the first round in February, and then if we have a March storm, do the second round and follow up with some telemarketing right after that.
Yeah, that would be an awesome plan for sure.
Well, I want to share one more exciting thing that I'm going to be doing, Jonathan, is that is helping some of the new contractors that have come aboard with me. And John Breitner, for one example, you know, he sold a couple of monster jobs, and he's never even done a roof job before. And I'm pretty excited to go down and help him and give him a hand and just kind of be there to support.
Where's he at,
Andrew? This is Tim Gilliam.
What was that?
I think he was asking.
Sounded like
where
Tim was going to say something
at.
And got.
That's all right. I think he was asking Andrew where that person is at.
Oh, he's in Michigan here. But get this. He sold two jobs in the Virgin Islands. He knew a guy that knew a guy that knew a guy. And he sold a $110,000 coating job to the university and then a $190,000 Flexion job to the shopping mall center. And this is a guy that was only a spray foam guy before and never did roofing at all. And he's just come out of the gates like a tiger. So I'm pretty excited to see what this guy is going to be doing.
I know a guy that knows a guy that'll both go and help.
He's already had a couple people offer to him, but he's like, I think you're just going to come down and drink beer.
Right.
I was going to mention that one of my goals is to provide a lot of good positive resources for our employees to, you know, help them improve themselves and whatever it is that they want to, you know, get better in. And so I just think it's a good idea that everybody has some good opportunities to improve themselves all the time. I have checked into some of that Grant Cardone literature, and he's got some really good stuff as far as follow-up and you know, host of other things. He's quite a go-getter. He knows some things about social media too. I don't know how many of you looked into this stuff. It is pretty pricey, however, as far as getting into some of his programs. And there's, I think, some ways of tapping into some of his literature that is not so pricey. And there's other programs out there that aren't as pricey. I imagine some people, though, that do buy into his multi-$1,000 programs, some probably put to good use. And it's a good investment. So on the one hand, I'm not trying to steer you away from his stuff, but I would say there's other alternatives. And that's one thing that we might do is share some of our resources at times, so that you know, we do have different alternatives to motivate our teams.
That's a great idea. Actually, I just happened to come across a post this evening on social media where someone actually had mentioned something about Grant Cardone's the Grant Cardone University, and there is a guy that's part of the Conklin Pathfinders who has like a special rate, a special deal, and he still has spots left for that. So if you're going to be at National Convention, I could always point the guy out to you, and you'd be welcome to talk to him. He said it's not open for other people outside of the Pathfinders. So all you guys that are involved with Choice Roof Group are all part of the Pathfinders team. So you guys would all, I believe, be eligible to, you know, to get in on that if anybody's interested.
Yeah, thanks for the comment. That's one of the things I was trying to point out. There are some other alternatives, but some of this stuff he prices out at like $20,000, $30,000, and other alternatives.
There is a
get some.
Yeah, there is a program that he has, one of his main programs, and being there was a whole bunch of people that bought in, you could do the program for like, I think it was $100 and some a month. It was like very reasonable. You could take part of this thing, and it's pretty huge. I think there's quite a few guys that are on it. I personally, myself, you know, listen to his audios like, you know, Sell or Be Sold. You know, that was a great audio. I personally know of a guy that I just recently met, and we seem to have a lot in common. We kind of hit it off with each other, and he was just, you know, new in business. He just, you know, went on his own in the residential just this last year for the very first time. And he said some days when he had the blues and just, you know, didn't have the energy and, you know, the just wasn't, you know, excited, he would pull up videos on YouTube because he didn't even, you know, he wasn't even aware where he could get the audios. And he was just pulling YouTube videos off of Grant Cardone and running it through his truck speakers, and he says that'd be enough to pump him up and he'd go out and have a good day. So there's a lot of people, I mean, worldwide that use his sales platform and have had very, very good success with it.
I have a question for everybody. What do you think people are doing to sell against coatings? The EPDM guys, I mean, I quoted a job, and I know I was half of everybody else. It was a 400-square job, and everybody wanted to tear off this beautiful tapered insulation system. There was two people quoting a total tear-off, and I was quoting a coating, and I followed up, you know, assume I did everything right, except for they just went, the other guys must have sold against a coating. What do you think we could do for a preemptive strike to offset what the EPDM guys or the Duralast guys, the TPO guys are selling against coatings? What are they saying to throw a monkey wrench in our presentation?
That it's just paint. That's what they're telling them.
So what do you do for a preemptive strike?
Well, first, I kind of do two things when I talk to a building owner. I give them what they want, because they usually have an initial idea, and I also give them my recommendation. So if they want a single ply, I'll say, well, you wanted a quote for a single ply, and that's this, but my recommendation would be a coating, which would be this, and then I tell them all the betterments of coating. You know, it's not as invasive. We're not going to tear anything off. It'll be less money because we can utilize your existing insulation and material. It'll be more reflective. The best part of it all is in another 15, 20 years, you can extend the lifetime of your existing roof by just recoating it again and put off that money for another 20 years. So usually people raise an eyebrows at that point in time, because instead of doing a total tear-off, you can extend the life of that warranty. Plus, here's another thing that a lot of people don't think about, Bill, is when you do a roof, it's a capital investment, so it's you're going to have to pay a certain tax on the money you spend, whereas a coating is looked at as a maintenance issue, so you can write the whole thing off on your taxes. Now, you have to talk to your accountant on how that all plays out, but it is a much better cost savings when it's a maintenance repair than a full-blown roof tear-off.
That's a great point. You know, but if it's a public company, they might not want that write-off all in 1 year. And I tell them that you may be able to go either way, talk to your accountant. You write it off, because the guy that owns a private company will want to write it off in 1 year. A public company might want to spread it out over 15 years. So you plant that seed too.
I don't run into too many public companies, so.
time. Only a matter of time, right, Jonathan?
Yep.
That's right.
Another point.
No, that's
is
a good point. I mean, I sell all that stuff. I do. But
something else that I've happened is if you're the first one on the job as far as bidding the job, or if you're the last one. I personally like to be the last guy to bid the job, because I want to come in and I want to show, because they want to know what they have apples to apples. So if they have several different samples laying there, I come in with my sample, I lay it on their table, and I say, okay, this is what you got with this, with this, with this, and this is what I'm going to give you. This is the value that I want to give you. And even if you're the first guy, say, hey, you know, I'd like to do a follow-up and, you know, when are you guys going to be reevaluating? When are you going to be sitting down? You know, if you're the maintenance guy, when are you going to be sitting down with the decision makers? Can I meet with you guys in, you know, 4 weeks or so? And, you know, set up an appointment to come back in and make sure everybody's educated on really what you're offering. Because I lost a job last year because somebody came in and said, because black EPDM was on your roof, your building was spec for black EPDM. That's the only thing you can have on your building. You know, that was a bunch of bull. You know, it was the perfect candidate for restoration, but some dude really wanted the job, and because I didn't follow up the way I should have, because I knew the guy well enough, I know I could have got that job, but I thought I had it. I mean, I thought I had the job, and it was just, they already had the money. It was, everything was in place. I thought it was just a matter of the guy's calling me when he's ready to go. And I did not follow
now,
up
Phil,
the way
can
I should
have. Can I ask you a question, Phil?
Sure.
It, could you have at the beginning, Phil said, now you're going to have some guys come in here and try to sell you X, Y, or Z, or EPDM or something, and this is why I wouldn't recommend that. This is why I would recommend this other thing. Could you do that at the beginning?
That's
yeah,
what they're
exactly.
doing to us.
Yeah, that would have been, yeah. Yep.
One thing that's worked for me just recently, I don't do this all the time, but I worked on this church recently, and there was one very reputable commercial roofing contractor that serviced them for many years, for well over 20 years. I told them that, hey, I'll come in and I'll fix your leaks, and you don't have to pay me until like 45 days after it's rained, or after we're done, and that, you know, we've had rain and no leaks is what I meant to say. And so I know you can't really do that on a big job, but you could, if you wanted to do something like that, you could save a portion of it. So I think a big part of these guys, they want their leaks to go away. If you can say, hey, we're guaranteeing your leaks are going to go away. Our way, you're going to have all this other cash flow. And not only that, you don't even have to pay us X amount of the money until 45 days after we're done. I'll show you that your leaks are going to be stopped. If they have that kind of confidence in you, and you got that kind of confidence in your own stuff, they end up telling me, gosh, that this commercial roofing company has been trying to fix their leaks for 20 years, and they haven't. And the last thing they did is they had them go tuck point this brick wall for like $20,000, and that didn't work either. And I went in there and fixed it, and then we fixed their bell, got that ringing like an hour before Christmas, and they were just tickled to death. And now I got people in their church calling me up wanting work, and but anyway.
Yeah, that's awesome. If you can go in and you know, solve people's immediate problems and give them that satisfaction they're looking for, you know, they won't forget you. They may forget you temporarily, but as soon as they hear a friend or someone say, hey, I need a good roofer, they'll immediately remember you.
All right, guys. Well, we've been going for an hour and a half. I think we probably need to do these calls more often. Do we have any final thoughts before we end tonight's call? All right. Well, I just want to encourage everyone to, you know, take some action. A lot of great ideas were shared. But if we don't do something differently in our weekly schedules and actually make time to go out and spread awareness about our companies and what we have to offer them, we're not going to get anywhere. We're going to be the same place that we were last year. And just based on some of the early closes that we're seeing on, you know, bids that were given out last year now coming in. There's a lot of people who are excited about the future with Trump running things now. So let's take advantage of that excitement and close some roofs. So have a great night, everyone, and we'll do this again soon. Thank you all for joining. We had a great turnout. I think actually our best one yet. We had 20 people on the call.
Cool. Thank you.
See you next week.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Yep. Take care, guys.